Judges chapter number 6 is where we're going to begin today. And trust the Lord will just say some things to our hearts together. In Judges chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds." Now, if you take time to just think about that, it's a pretty desperate situation. I mean, they can't live like they've always lived. If you go on down through these verses, you find out in verse number 4, they encamped against them. They destroyed the increase of the earth. They destroyed their crops. And the Bible said, "Till thou come unto Gaza," and he left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor oxen, nor ass. And the Bible said in verse 5, "For they came up with their cattle and their tents. They came as grasshoppers for multitude." How many of y'all seen some of them old movies? I don't know what some of them, one of them was called Flies or something like that. That probably reminds you pretty good of how it was in Egypt in Moses' day. Amen. And here the Bible said these are men and women and boys and girls coming, and it looks like grasshoppers coming. They're just covering up the earth. And Israel was greatly impoverished in verse number 6 because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. You know what I'm wondering? I'm wondering, how bad is it going to have to get in America before somebody cries out to God? The Bible said here, "And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites." I like this now. You say, "Preacher, I guess if I was going to title this message today, I might title it like this: There is hope." Honest to God, in my own heart and in my own life, at times I get so discouraged, I believe that I'm actually, the way that I'm thinking and the way that I'm acting, I'm saying there's no hope. But there is hope. I believe when the children of Israel were back in these caves and back in these mountains, and they were watching the Midianites destroy the crops and destroy the animals and take their livelihood away, I believe some of them might have been thinking, "This is it. It's over. There's no hope." I want to ask you a question. Is God still on the throne? I want you to see today in the Word of God that there is hope. And I think God will help us to see that. The Bible said the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt." The prophet's going to remind them of some things. He's going to remind them of the goodness of God. He's going to remind them of the grace of God. The Bible said, "I brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of those that oppressed you and drave them out from before you. And I gave you," God said, "I gave you their land. I drove them out and I gave the land to you. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice." Can I say something? The prophet of God will always tell the truth. Amen. He's not fearful. And he's standing up and he's saying, "Hey, look what God's done for you. But now look how you've treated God." Well, I tell you, somebody needs to sound that message in this country. Amen. The Bible said there, look in verse number 11. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, and Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Let me just say something right there before I go on. The Lord had not forsaken them. they had forsaken the Lord. And there is a difference. The Bible said here, and the Lord looked upon him, and he said, go this in thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I want to start in on this message. I don't know how far we're going this morning, but I guarantee you we'll go into the afternoon. Somebody say amen right there. That'll keep you from getting too excited. Amen. And then we'll come back tonight and pick up where we left off. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be here, to stand behind this precious book, the Holy Bible, the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God, I pray today, help us to see truth that will transform our lives. Help us to know, Lord, you're still on the throne. God, there's hope. Lord, we have a key to the throne of grace. We that are saved, help us, our Father, to be praying in these days and trusting you in these days. God will give you glory in Jesus' name, and amen and amen. The message is going to be broke up into three parts. I'm going to look this morning at the condition of God's people. And then hopefully this morning I'm going to at least get started in on the choosing of God's leader. The condition of God's people, and then the choosing of God's leader. And then tonight, definitely tonight, if I get to it, the conquering of God's enemy. That's what I want to look at in the book of Judges, chapter number 6 and chapter number 7, and a little piece of chapter number 8. And I want to look at it together. I got some things here by way of introduction that I believe will be a blessing to you. How many have ever heard the saying, history repeats itself? How many's ever heard of that? Well, I'll tell you what, somebody needs to go to the White House, amen, and the Congress, and just tell them history repeats itself. Ask them if they wouldn't be willing to read this passage of Scripture that I've got in front of me today, as well as many others. I thought about this as I looked into this. There's a cycle. It's kind of a vicious cycle. And you can look at it in the nation of Israel, and honestly, you can look at it in many nations since the nation of Israel. Hey, Brother Richard, we might ought to turn that air down just a little bit, brother. I see people fanning, and I'm about to take my coat off. Amen. I don't want to have to do that. Amen. Is everybody just right? Y'all just right? Okay, we're not going to have an argument over it. Amen. There's people fanning, and I'm hot, so we're going to turn it down. Amen. Amen. Just a little bit. Amen. And I appreciate that. But as we look at this cycle, the book of Judges covers really the death of Joshua over there to the birth of Samuel, the prophet, the man of God. But I want to look at this cycle, and I want to notice this cycle as we see it in the book of Judges. First of all, turn to Judges chapter 1 and verse number 1. In Judges chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible said, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? Do you see that right there? They look at this verse and then compare it, if you will, to Judges chapter 20 and verse number 18. Let's look at Judges chapter 20 and verse number 18 for just a moment. The Bible said this. In Judges chapter 20 and verse number 18, the Bible said, and the children of Israel rose and went to the house of God and asked counsel of God and saith, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. Now I want you to see that basically in those two verses, there's counsel being sought of the Lord. But there's a whole lot that's happened between those two verses. You say, preacher, what happens in this cycle? Well, you see a nation that's serving God. And then you see a nation that's doing evil in the sight of God. Then you see a nation that's forsaking God. Then you see a nation that's following their own way. They're doing that which is right in their own eyes. You see a nation that's sold into slavery. You see a nation that cries out to God. You see a nation that turns to God, a nation that repents. Then you see that God raises up judges or leaders, and then you see the nation delivered. And so they're right back to the top of the scale again, and they're serving God again. And then it's not long, and they get their eyes off of God, and they get their eyes on the gods of this world, and they're headed down, down, down again until they get in that oppressed state, and then they call on God again and repent. God sends them a judge. God raises up the nation and delivers them again. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you want to see the long-suffering of God Almighty and the patience of God, you just read the book of Judges. Amen? You read about the nation of Israel. You say, preacher, I wonder why God hasn't judged our nation. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe with all of my heart, we're part of the reason. The church of the living God is part of the reason. Amen? I'm telling you what, before he would judge the cities of Sodom and the city of Gomorrah, he had to get Lot out. Amen? And I believe with all of my heart, we're just part of the reason. But I believe one of the main reasons is our God is long-suffering. Our God is patient. Our God, my friend, is trying to help us as a country to turn once again to him and to trust in him. The Bible said that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When God raises up leaders or judges like he did in the life of Gideon, the Bible said when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. I read this last night, yesterday afternoon actually. I spent most of the afternoon, late afternoon and evening studying on this subject and looking at this life of this man named Gideon. And I ran across this and I thought it was very interesting. General Douglas MacArthur said this. Please listen carefully. He said, in this day of gathering storms, how many could say, hey, we live in one of them day? Amen. He said, in this day of gathering storms, as moral deterioration of political power spreads its growing infection, and it is essential that every spiritual force be mobilized to defend and preserve the religious base upon which this nation was founded. For it has been that base which has been the motivating impulse to our moral and national growth. History fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay have not passed into political and economic decline. There has been either a spiritual reawakening to overcome the moral lapse or a progressive deterioration leading to ultimate national disaster. I say this country is headed for disaster if we don't have an awakening and a return to the God of heaven. Amen. I see the condition of the people. I've got this from my wife. I was discussing on the phone with my wife. You say, preacher? Yeah, finally I got a message from my wife. Amen. You'll like that. Amen. Many preachers have asked me after I get done preaching, where'd you get that? I'd say, Eve gave it to me. Amen. Well, this right little bit I'm going to give you right here, Eve gave it to me. That's the truth. I'm not preaching now. I'm telling the truth. Amen. But anyway, she told me about Queen Victoria. She reigned from 1837 to 1901. I was telling my wife about what General Douglas MacArthur said. She said, honey, have you ever read about Queen Victoria? And I said, no, I haven't. And she said, well, she started to tell me some things. I said, you look that up and make sure you got it all right. So she looked it up, called me back. She got it all right. Amen. And here in 1837 to 1901, that she was over the leading empire in the world. It was during the Industrial Revolution. It was the longest reigning monarch, Queen Victoria was. There was a reformation of morality. The upper class voluntarily helped the poor and the needy during this time. There was an African prince that visited with her. This prince said to Queen Victoria, what is the secret of England's greatness? And at that time, the queen took a Bible and handed it to the prince and said, right there is the secret. I'll tell you, God's been good to this country, and God's been good to our nation, and God's been good to our families. But right here is the reason that God has been good to us. Amen. This precious Bible that we hold in our hands.
Oh, I tell you, wouldn't it be wonderful to have that going on again? Amen. In the Congress, for them to realize where our roots are. During her reign, that empire covered a quarter of the globe. There was great missionary work. The American Red Cross was founded. The Salvation Army was founded. The YMCA was founded during that time period. You say, preacher, I wouldn't mention those organizations. Can I tell you something right now? Beloved, listen. In every good and godly organization, there'll be deterioration without God. Because, my friend, it deteriorates doesn't mean it wasn't a wonderful, my friend, organization at one time doing the work of God. Amen. I believe with all of my heart this morning that God wants us to understand the condition of the nation, the condition of God's people. I believe with all of my heart this morning there's something else that's needed. Not only do we see the condition of God's people, but we see the choosing of God's leader. God is going to choose a leader. And I tell you, he's going to be an unlikely man. How many of y'all done figured out? God chooses unlikely men to do the work of God. Amen. You think about men like David. You think about the least of the little shepherd boy. Is there any left of the house of Jesse? Yeah, there's a little shepherd boy. God said, go get him. Amen. I tell you, when others were seeing a shepherd boy, our Heavenly Father was seeing a king. I mean, when others were seeing a miserable failure in Peter, a man that cursed, a man that denied, a man that warmed by the devil's fire, our Father was seeing a preacher for Pentecost, somebody that could be used for the kingdom of God. And there, when you look around among the bulrushes at a little bitty baby in a basket floating around, my friend, there in the river, and then you look up there at that mighty Pharaoh, you say, boy, that Pharaoh's got power. Oh, I'm going to tell you something right now. God had more power in the little finger that was in that basket than Pharaoh ever had in his life. What I'm trying to get us to see today is God is going to choose a man named Gideon. He's an unlikely man to be used for the glory of God. I may be preaching this morning. I know I'm an unlikely candidate to pastor or to preach, but I may be preaching to somebody and say, I can't do nothing. I tell you, by yourself, you're right, but you let God enter into that equation, and there's nothing that you can't do for the glory of God. Oh, friend of mine, there's hope. There's hope, but we got to see the condition. We got to see the condition of the nation. And secondly, we got to see how God chooses a leader. Let's look at that together. Boy, what a story in the Word of God. Let me just say some things here. We'll get down to a few verses of these scriptures here in just a minute. Let me say some things here that I believe would be a blessing. Number one, Gideon was not seeking to be a leader. Let me say this to you. We need to beware of those that's wanting to be leaders. Good leadership don't want to be leadership. It's pushed up. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you right now, my friend, listen. If there's somebody that wants to run everything, you better run from him. Real leadership is servanthood. Amen. A real leader is a servant of the Most High God. And a real leader is one that God puts his hand on and calls to do the work. God, my friend, was seeking a leader, but Gideon was not seeking to be a leader for God or anybody else. God saw something in Gideon that Gideon did not see. How about that? God saw something in Gideon that Gideon's family did not see. God saw something in Gideon that Israel did not see. And hallelujah, I'm going to tell you right now, God saw something in Gideon that the Midianites did not see either. Amen. I tell you, they didn't see it coming, what was going to happen when God put his hand on this man, Gideon. Amen. God saw a choice servant. All that man saw was a coward. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, if you'll read this in the Bible, you'll read it right there. How many of you know where the threshing was normally done in Bible days? It was done on top of a hill. Why was it done on top of a hill? Because in the threshing, the wind would blow away the chaff. It would take the grain and you would winnow the grain. You would pitch it up. And the wind would carry away the chaff or the waste. You say, well, preacher, why wasn't Gideon up on top of the hill? I'll tell you why. That's where the Midianites was looking for him. He's a coward. He's not going to go up there, amen, where the Midianites are looking for him. You say, preacher, where was he? He was down at the bottom. That's the wine press. That's where they carried the grapes. They carried him in there, and he's hiding as he does the work that needs to be done. You say, preacher, why are you magnifying this? I'm wanting you to see, my friend, that God can pick a man up that doesn't have an ounce of backbone and give him a backbone like a saw log to stand for what's right. You know what we need? Listen to me carefully. We need somebody else in the Senate and somebody else in the House of Representatives and somebody else in the White House that's got a spine instead of like a jellyfish, like a saw log. My wife said the other day, said, wonder what he's waiting on. I said, honey, he has to check the wind at least a week before he makes a decision because he's afraid. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Don't matter if you like it or not. It's still the truth. We need somebody that can stand up and say, right is right and wrong is wrong. And Gideon, he's weak. He's a coward. But he's not going to be weak long. He's not going to be a coward long. You can take a weakling. You can take a coward. You let the God of heaven move into his soul. And I tell you what's the truth. Business is fixing to pick up for the glory of God. Here we see God chose a man of great weakness so that God could give him his great strength. Look in verse number 6 and verse number chapter 6, verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. I can almost, Brother Jeff, see it like this. I could see Gideon saying, I know he ain't talking to me. Who's he talking to? Amen. You say, well, God is speaking, my friend, in prophetic terms. It's not that Gideon right then is a mighty man of valor. But how many believes if God says it, it's about to come to pass? Amen. God said you're a mighty man of valor. God's going to take this coward. He's going to take this man that's weak. You say, preacher, what's God looking for in this generation? Strong men? Oh, no. God's looking for weak men. I'm telling you, that's one of our problems. We've learned how to have church. We've learned how to preach. We've learned how to teach. I'm telling you, and we don't have to depend on the God of heaven anymore. But God's looking for a man that's saying, Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. And God's looking for a nation. By the way, I don't know this where this fits into the sermon. It's somewhere else, but here it comes. How many remembers what happened on 9-1-1? That's a dumb question, I guess. How many remembers a couple weeks after that? I'm going to tell you what, whether people was a believer, born again or not, they was calling on the God of heaven for a couple weeks. How many believes that? We thought, my friend, that we were in trouble, that we had finally met an enemy that we could not conquer, and we were blindsided, and my friend, people were calling on God. And by the way, it was all right from the top all the way down. They were encouraging people to call on God. But in about 2 weeks, Brother Grizzle, America began to stick her chest out again. We'll get you. I tell you what we'd have been better off to done. Been turned them over to our God. What would have been better off to done instead of saying, we'll build it taller, we'll build it bigger, would have been better off to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Oh, it lasted for about 2 weeks. We called on God for a little while, and my friend, then we forgot about it. And we began life as normal in this country. God chose a man of great weakness. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I have to read these verses. You cannot preach this text, I don't believe, and make reference to these verses concerning Gideon. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm having a good time this morning. Hey, I'm like my granddaddy. He said, there's a lot of men preach better than I do, but ain't a man in shoe leather can enjoy it anymore than I do. That's the way I feel. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Look what the Bible said. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Let me tell you how to pray. We got an election coming up here in a couple of years. I tell you how to pray. God, raise somebody up ain't nobody ever heard of. I mean, he might only know how to plow corn and plant corn and harvest corn. But I believe that'd be a whole lot better off than some of what we have had. Say amen. Especially if he believed there was a God that answers prayer and a God that blesses a nation and a God that would help us along the way. The Bible said here, God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and things which are despised, God had chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. You say, preacher, why is God going to do it like he's going to do it? Why did he pick Gideon? Why did he go after the weakling? Why did he go after the coward? Why? We'll get to that tonight. Did he start with 32,000 and end up with 300? I'm going to tell you why. How many's listening? Because when God gets finished, everybody's going to know God did it. Amen. And God's going to get the glory. Gideon ain't going to get no glory. I'm telling you, 300 men aren't going to get any glory. There's no sword, no shield, no spear going to get the glory because they didn't even have one. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say there's some people around here like me feeling pretty weak, but you let God get in on the scene. Feeling pretty hopeless, you let God get in on the scene. God chose a man of great weakness. Look at 2 Corinthians. Well, you don't have to look at it. I'll just quote part of it. This is what Paul said. Paul said, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. As long as we think we're somebody, we think we're strong, we'll never have the strength of God. We'll never have the touch of God. I'm telling you, we'll never have the power of God upon our lives, our nation, our homes, or anything else until we realize how weak we are without him. One preacher said it like this. He said, without Jesus, he said, I'm a zero with a rim knocked off. At least a zero has a rim. That's something. But Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You can't even take your next breath without him. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you just don't believe the Bible. In him we live and move and have our being. Oh, friend of mine, God's choosing a man that he can use, a man that will get the job done. I believe with all my heart it's important. How is it that Gideon is going to become strong? This man that begins with questions. Look at chapter 6 and verse 13 in the book of Judges. He begins with question after question after question. You say, preacher, if I was God, I believe I'd have went somewhere else. Ain't it a good thing you ain't God? Amen. Look in verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord. By the way, what you have going on in chapter 6 and verse number 12 is called a theophanies. That's an appearing of the pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus is appearing here. And Gideon doesn't realize it to start with. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord. Oh my Lord. If the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us? Now, let me give you something right here to help you. God never told him in verse number 12 that I'm with you all. He said, I'm going to be with you. That's one. See, Gideon keeps using in verse number 13 the word us. Why is all this befallen us? Us. Us. Over and over. And God never promised the us anything or the we anything. But God promised Gideon his presence. Watch this now. The Bible said here, if the Lord be with us, then why has all this befallen us? Let me ask you a question. It's kind of personal. I'm looking at a man right here. I know he's asked this question. I guarantee you there's others that's asked this question. We're walking with God. We're trying to do the will of God, trying to do the work of God. Why is all this happening, Lord, in our lives? Why is this happening in our family? Why is this happening in our nation? He's getting with a bunch of questions. And he said, where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of? I'm going to ask a personal question. How many of you all have seen real revival in this town called Kingsport? I'm talking about real, genuine, Holy Ghost, heaven sent revival. How many of you have seen it? Raise your hand if you've seen it. There's one, two, three, four. I know it happened. I've heard about it. You say, preacher, what's the matter with you this morning? I'll tell you what's the matter with me. I'm tired of hearing about it. I want to see it again. I believe God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And when we begin to believe that He's on the throne and there is hope, we'll act like it. We'll walk like it. We'll talk like it. We'll see our weakness, but we won't let that discourage us. We'll let that encourage us. Because we'll realize He can take this weakling and do something with him for the glory of God Almighty. Oh, friend of mine, I believe with all of my heart, there's hope. There's hope. Notice this. The question here. The Bible said, why has all this befallen us? Where be all the miracles of our fathers that our fathers told us of? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to quit this morning. There's several reasons. The main reason is my body can only take so much. But I'll tell you this right now. This scripture is so rich and so full. It could turn our church around. It can turn our community around. It can turn our homes around. It can turn this country around. If we begin to call on the God of heaven, believing that He can do what needs to be done. Watch this. He starts with questions. He actually questions, if you'll notice verse 13, God's purpose. He questions God's power. He questions God's plan. And he questions God's purpose and God's presence in his life. You say, preacher, how in the world can the God of heaven use somebody like that? Well, I don't know how. I just know he does. I don't know why, but I know he does. God is not looking for the mighty. He's looking for the weak. The one that he can make his strength perfect in. Gideon begins with all these questions. But now Gideon is a major part of the answer. Gideon begins with giving excuses to the Lord. Look at verse 14. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Watch what verse number 15 said. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He begins to make excuses. I'll never forget this as long as I live. Years ago, I watched Brother David Ring preach on one of Brother Jerry Falwell's broadcasts. And Brother David Ring got down to the end of his sermon. I can't watch him preach without weeping. It breaks my heart. I mean, it grips my heart every time I hear him preach. I can hear him sing Victory in Jesus. And I'll melt. My heart melts. I remember one time he looked over at the pianist and the pianist said, what key? He said, don't matter. I'll be all of them before I get done. Amen. He might have hit all the keys, but he rung the bells of heaven while he was singing. I can tell you that. Brother David Ring said this. He said, I got cerebral palsy. What your excuse? Here comes Gideon with his excuses. What's your excuse not to be used of God? What's your excuse not to see that loved one's life turned around by the God of heaven? I tell you, every one of us is guilty. We put our heads between our knees and we're not praying. We're so discouraged we don't want to look up. And we need to look up. We need to call on God. We need to realize there's hope. There's hope in the God of heaven. Just another thing or two and I'm done. We'll pick it up tonight. Gideon, he starts with questions. He ends. He's a major part of the answer. He starts with giving excuses not to lead, but he ends with being an example of a great leader for God's glory. He begins in verse 17 down through verse 21. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but he begins by requiring a sign. For the angel of the Lord, he goes and he prepares some cakes and he takes the oxen and he prepares it. And he said, I want a sign. And the angel of the Lord touched that rock there. And the fire came up out of the rock and consumed everything that was on that rock. He began by requiring a sign. Amen. Listen to me. How does he end up? I tell you how he ends up. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Amen. He requires a sign to begin with. But he ends up trusting none other than the word of the living God. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. I don't know about you tonight or this morning. I can't wait to get back tonight. I'm going to get me a little something to eat and a little something to drink and a little nap. All right, I might get a big nap. And I'll be back. I want to look some more into the life of this man called Gideon. We've seen the condition of the people, the condition of the nation. We've seen the choosing. We've not even begun to see that yet. I just introduced you to that part of God's leader. And tonight we'll finish that up and look at the conquering of God's enemy. You say, preacher, there's a lot of enemies in this country. I'm going to tell you something right now. It'll change the way we pray and the way we look at things when we realize, like David did down in the valley with Goliath, they're not our enemy. They're his enemy. They're enemies of the living God. And I tell you, when we begin to believe God, God will overthrow the enemy. I believe with all my heart, even though we're living in the last of the last days, we can see a revival. See a revival in our home. See a revival in the house of God. See a revival in our community. See a revival even in this country that we live in. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm not a prophet, I'm a preacher. But you mark down what I'm about to say. This country's fixing to get slapped like it ain't never been slapped before. We've spit in the face of the one that made us great. And I tell you, when he gets done, we'll know we've been slapped. I believe even the heathen will know they've been slapped. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how God, Brother Jeff, can just cut the water off for a little while and bring about panic? How that God, Brother Joe, can just have a little fire spread through part of California. I remember years ago it was southern Georgia. You couldn't even see the interstate down through there. God can take a little fire, a little wind, a tornado. He can show man just in an instant how big he is and how little mankind is. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You can label me a fool if you want to. That's what the liberals do anyway. As long as they're calling me a fool, I know I'm in the right path. with the things that's going on in this country, our Lord's trying to get our attention. You can take this for what it's worth. My God is a God of judgment. But He's so full of mercy. He's tried His best. You say, preacher, I don't know what difference this kind of preaching makes. May not make much in my lifetime, Brother Grizzle. What about my grandbabies? What about Peanut and Charity? What in the world's he going to face, or she, honey? If this thing keeps going down like it's been going down. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be here this morning. God, I pray you'd help us use this altar today and pray for our families, pray for our loved ones, pray for our country. God, even pray for our leaders. Lord, what would it be like to have a leader in the White House or the Congress to stand up and say, I've been deceived, but Jesus saved me last night, or Jesus saved me this morning. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to know, Lord, that it's not their wisdom, it's not their solutions that's going to save us. God, we're too far gone for man's answer. God, we need the Savior. Come down, this country that we live in. God, come down in our church. Lord, somebody's been praying this week. God, there's great liberty this morning. God, I pray that, Lord, you'd help this preacher, Lord, to depend on you like I've never depended on you before. God, just to help me, Lord, to have the mail Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. That would be an encouragement, a help to our precious people. God, would you challenge our hearts? God, for those of us that give up, God, revive our hearts. Help us, our Father, to realize there's hope. Lord, that youngin' that's out there wayward, God, there's hope. Lord, that home that's about to be broken, God, there's hope. You're still on the throne. Lord, it looked hopeless to Israel while they were hiding in those mountains and those caves and watching the enemy destroy that they had worked so hard for. God, I pray you'd help us to turn again. Help us, Lord, to get back to that phrase, that paragraph by General MacArthur. Realize, Lord, that our roots are a lot deeper than man's wisdom. Lord, we go back to a country that was founded upon the principles of God's holy word. Help us, we pray.